Our scripture today is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ.
Join me in prayer one more time. So, Father, I do ask now for your help. Lord, I ask for help to be clear and faithful with your word. Lord, I ask for help for those here to listen and to hear and to see Christ clearly. Lord, help us to get the Christian life, to not miss this most foundational thing. Lord, do this ultimately for your glory. Do this for our joy. And do this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to do is help you understand these verses in the context of the letter. So if you've been with us, you know we've been going through Colossians, and what we've been seeing is Paul lifting up Christ in all his glory. Paul has been reminding these Colossian Christians who were being pestered with false teaching of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done. In chapter 1, verses 24, all the way to chapter 2, verse 5, we saw Paul describe to the Colossian Christians his ministry as an apostle, a ministry that revolved around proclaiming the all-sufficient Christ. Moreover, he told them of what he hoped his ministry would accomplish in them. Saw that in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And he ends that section of the letter by telling them he was glad to hear that they were remaining firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. And then that brings us here to verse 6 of chapter 2. So if you look there at verse 6, you'll see it begins with therefore. And that means that Paul's argument is progressing. But even more, chapter 2, verse 6 marks a transition in the letter. From this point on, all the way until chapter 4, verse 6, Paul is going to exhort these Colossian Christians to look to Christ alone and to live their Christian lives centered on Christ alone. And he's going to show them and us what that looks like. So that's kind of a summary of what we'll be doing in the rest of the letter. So verses 6 to 8 begin this new section of the letter, but they're really the summary of the section. Even more, these three verses here, friends, are the summary of the entire letter. If you want to know what the letter to the Colossians is all about, these three verses summarize it. But what I'm arguing this morning, even more, is that these three verses give us a summary of the entire Christian life. And that's exactly what I want to consider with you this morning. Most of us appreciate a really good summary. Some of you probably wished even my sermons were more summaries. And that's fair. When I played sports, my favorite coaches, my favorite teachers were those who were able to give me a clear and easy summary of what I was supposed to be doing. Perhaps you've read a book before, maybe for a report or a project in school, and you were kind of lost in the overwhelming details of the book, but then you got a good summary that helped you make sense of what was going on, and then you could put all the pieces together. Or maybe at work, you've benefited from a boss or a supervisor who summarized a new announcement or some new rules so that you could understand clearly how to proceed in your job. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that details don't matter. They do. However, it's so often the case that a good summary, it helps us see the big picture. It helps us understand the main thing. It gives us a sense of direction. It orients us. Well, friends, in these verses, we have a summary of the Christian life. Now, here's what I know. All of us this morning came into this gathering under different circumstances. For some of you, things are going well. Your faith is strong. You're growing in Christ. And honestly, you're just in a great season. Others, you're barely hanging on. And you're fighting, but you're filled to the brim with doubts. And you don't have any idea whether or not you're going to make it. Others are suffering badly. Some in here are raising kids. Some have just started college. Some have just sent their kids to college. Some in here are single, but desperately want to be married. Some are married, but battling through a really difficult situation. This room is filled with believers who have different lives, different ministries, different temptations, different calls, different struggles. And yet, in these verses, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, addresses all of us. So these words here are for all of us, no matter who you are. This is to all believers. Paul here brings us back to the main thing, to the foundational thing. This is it. It's not complicated what Paul does here, but it is all important. In these instructions, we learn here, what does it truly mean to even be a Christian? And how are we supposed to live? I mean, those are foundational questions. Paul reminds us here. So if you're an unbeliever in here this morning, God's word's going to show you very clearly what it means to be a Christian. And I hope and I pray that you will turn from your sin and trust in Christ. If you're a new Christian in here this morning and you're wondering, what should I be doing? These verses are going to speak directly to you. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time in here. You're thinking, man, I've been on this train for a while. These verses here are going to help and exhort you to stay right there, to stay on the right tracks. Paul tells us here that Christians are those who, number one, receive, number two, walk, and number three, stay. That's our outline, those three words. And this morning, I want to explore each of them with you. So number one, what is it to be a Christian? Number one, receive. Look closely in your Bible so you can see what we're doing here, see where we're at. Verse 6. What does Paul say? Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So the main imperative here is walk in Him. That's what Paul's really driving at here, and we are going to consider that in just a moment. However, we should not skip too quickly over that preceding phrase, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul doesn't go right to instructions, though we certainly will get to the instructions of the Christian life. Paul first reminds them of the foundation of the Christian life. He says, Colossians, I want you to continue to walk in Christ. Okay? Why? Because remember, you received Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, we're learning something very important here. Because this is where the Christian life begins. What we're looking at right here is the heart of the Christian life, receiving Jesus Christ. Okay, well, we should ask what that means. What does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? It means to believe in Jesus Christ. And not just that he merely existed, but that he truly is who the scriptures say he is, and that he's truly done what the scriptures say he's done. In other words, to receive Jesus Christ is to believe in the real, biblical Jesus Christ. Okay, but that still leads to another question. What does the Bible say about this Christ? What does the Bible say about him and about what he's done? Well, friends, Paul's been telling us about this Christ in the letter. In Colossians 1, 15 to 17, Paul says, this Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that the sovereign ruler over all his creation. So to receive Jesus Christ is to believe that this Jesus is not just a man, not just a prophet, not just an example, not just a teacher, but that he's God, the one whom you were made for. In Colossians 1, verses 20 to 22, Paul says this Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, the only Savior of sinners, the one who shed his blood on the cross to reconcile wretched sinners to God and to give us the hope of glory. You see that in verse 27. To receive Jesus Christ, then, is to personally believe and trust in him as the only Savior, indeed as your Savior. In Colossians 1, verses 15 to 18, Paul says this Jesus is both Lord of creation and Lord of the church. He's your Lord. To receive Jesus Christ is to believe that he is your Lord. So Paul says, Christians, look, first and foremost, it's about receiving by faith Jesus Christ, embracing by faith Jesus Christ for all that he is. This is where it starts. This is the foundation. This is the center. This is the heart. Faith in Christ, receiving Christ. Friend, if you miss this, you miss the whole thing. If you miss this, it doesn't matter what you go on to do, you've missed it, period. Now, I think Paul's words here destroy two common notions. First, it's that Christians are those who are trying to live a good life in order to get to heaven. Friends, that's what a massive percentage of people out in the world think Christians believe. That Christians are just those trying to be good people. Ultimately, and get to the pearly gates. And truly, it's not just people out in the world who believe this. sometimes it's people in the church who believe this. There is many a professing Christian who thinks that really, at the heart, what it's all about is just be a good person. Do your best. Be like Jesus. Got my bracelet on. WWJD. That's it. That's it. That's what you do. And that's what they're banking their hope on. I wonder even if there's not someone in here who believes that. Who's resting your hope of eternal life on being a good person. Or that you've been baptized. Or that you're in church most Sundays. Friend, if that's you, you've missed it. You've missed it. To be clear, Christianity involves living a holy life in Christ. We're going to see that. However, Christianity is not about living a good life with the hope of somehow earning salvation. Christianity is first and foremost about receiving Christ, who has accomplished salvation and who gives to all who will receive Him eternal life. Friends, Christians don't think they earn salvation. Christians receive salvation by faith in Christ. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Paul doesn't just say, walk, and then just spells it all out. He doesn't do that. Look at the text. He doesn't just say, walk. If you think that Christianity just equals walk, that's it. You walk, live, that's it. You will find yourself stuck in the snare of legalism, which is exhausting, empty, and will lead you to the grave. Paul says, as you received, walk. Don't miss that, friends. The Christian life starts and is continually centered on faith in Christ. So that's the first notion that I think is destroyed. There's a second common notion that I think Paul's words here destroy. And it's that Jesus is just an addition to your life. What does Paul say about Jesus back in chapter 1, verses 15 to 18? We looked at that a couple weeks ago. He says that He's Lord. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. That's who Jesus Christ is. And then here in our verse, you see that in verse 6? He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, he could have stopped there, but what does he say? He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. Paul makes it clear, to truly receive Christ is to receive Him for all that He is. And that includes as Lord, our Lord. That means that He's our King, our ruler. He calls the shots. He directs our lives. He has total control. We listen to His every word. We live for Him. But oh, how many people think that Jesus is just some type of addition. Got their own plans. Got their own direction. Got their own dreams. Got money. Got worldly pleasures. Things are good. But Jesus seems like He'd be a good addition. And so they think that they'll just add Him somewhere in the back seat. And then you know, if things get real bad, if tragedy strikes, then we'll call on him. Then he'll be useful. For many, you know what Christ is for many? He's just a safety net. I'll live my own life, do what I want. I'll be my own captain, and Jesus will get me into heaven when I die. I wonder if maybe that's you. But friend, to truly receive Jesus Christ is to receive him not just as your Savior, but as the Lord of everything, including your life. To truly receive Jesus Christ is to embrace him not just as a nice side piece, a nice addition, but to knock over all the idols in your heart and give him the throne. To truly receive Jesus Christ is not to put him in the back seat, but to give him the driver's seat and for you to get in the back. To truly receive Jesus Christ is to bow the knee to his supreme lordship. Friends, you don't get Christ in some type of package deal. It's not like getting a car. There's different packages. Christ isn't like that. You receive him for everything he is, or you don't receive him at all. So what's Paul telling us in verse 6? What's he telling us? He's telling us that the Christian life is about receiving Jesus Christ for all that he is, and including Lord, but believing in him as our Savior and our Lord. That this is where it starts. This is Christianity 101, faith in Christ. It's how it starts, it's how it continues, it's how it will end. Now I want to say a quick word to the unbeliever. I'm glad you're here, first off. Very glad you're here. My encouragement to you would be to receive this Jesus Christ, even this day. Receive him as Lord and Savior. In him, you will find salvation and eternal life. And if you will receive and submit to his lordship now in this life, you will find him to be kind and good. He is a good and kind Lord. And he will give you joy, and he will transform you, and he will show you what it means to truly live. Why? Would you wait even another minute to trust in this Christ? Okay, let's move on to number two. We've seen number one, Christians have received. Who have they received? Christ Jesus for all that he is. That's where it starts. Now we're moving on to number two. Number two, walk. Walk. The Christian life is about receiving. Yes. But then it's about walking. Look at verse 6 again in your Bibles, verse 6. Look at what Paul tells these Colossians. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now we should ask, what does it mean to walk in him? Well, the word walk is often used in Scripture, especially by Paul, as a metaphor for your life. So Paul is telling these believers and us, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, what does it mean to live your life in Christ? What does that mean? to live in Christ, to live as a Christian. It means that you're striving to live for Christ, to emulate Christ, to be obedient to Christ's word and His commands. That's how we live now. That's how we continually live because we've received Him. By the way, we're reminded here of the connection between believing and living. For the Christian, that these two realities are always, always connected, that they are not and they cannot be separated. If you believe in Christ, you will then live a life that indicates such. And that only makes sense. Why? Because we've already seen, if you've received Christ Jesus, you've received Him as your Lord. So it's His directive that you now follow and submit to. Moreover, Paul's going to talk about this a bit later in the letter, by the way. But moreover, Paul says, if your faith is in Christ, you're actually united to Him. And thus you've died to sin and you're alive unto obedient, God-pleasing living now. A major transformation has happened in the Christian. And that transformation results in living, walking. Furthermore, we're getting ready to see this in verse 7. The one whom God has saved, He has rooted in Christ. And He has established in the Christian faith, in the Christian truth, and He is building up the one whom He has saved. So do you see it then, friend? The Christian life is always going to result in living. The Christian has received Christ, and then he what? He lives. He walks in Christ. So Paul tells these believers, continue to walk in Christ as you've received Him. Now in verse 7, he's going, as we said, to explain this walk a bit more. He does so in four ways. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So four things there. First, rooted in Him. Paul's using a tree metaphor here. He's saying the Christian is like a tree planted in the soil of Christ. Our roots go deep into Christ. He's instructing us to walk like someone who's got their roots in Christ. To be rooted in Christ means that your life is producing the fruits of Christ. If you're a healthy tree planted in Christ, what kind of fruit will you be producing? Christ-like fruit. Fruits like kindness, gentleness, not gossiping, but encouraging. Fruits like working hard, working honestly for the glory of Christ. Fruits like love for God and love for others. If you've got your roots in Christ, that's the fruit. Therefore, we would do well, friends, to examine ourselves. Is that the kind of fruit that we're producing? Good, Christ-like fruit. Paul says the Christian life is the life rooted in Christ and therefore bringing forth that kind of fruit. Furthermore, to be rooted in Christ means that we are continually drawing strength and grace from Christ to live the Christian life. So like a healthy, flourishing tree whose roots are planted by the stream, so we Christians are constantly drawing from Christ everything we need to live the life that He's called us to live. So brothers and sisters, the Christian life, and don't miss this. The Christian life is about continual dependence on Christ. We are living for Him, true, but we're also depending on Him for everything we need to live for Him. There aren't these other secrets that need to be unlocked for the Christian life, nor is there anyone or anything else outside of Christ that we need. That's what the false teachers were telling the Colossians, that there's something other than Christ that you need. Paul says, no, you're rooted in Christ. Just keep drinking from Him. Keep drinking from Him. Absorb all the spiritual nutrients that come from Him. He will supply everything. He will give you everything you need. Depend on Him. And praise God, in Christ, you know what we find? We find an endless supply of what we need. An endless supply of grace and strength. New mercies every morning. We find everything that we could possibly need. So we only need to look to Him to live a life of faith and godliness. So in here this morning, if you're struggling, the marriage is really difficult. You're Christians, but you're trying to work this thing out. It's hard. Christ will supply you with everything you need to live the Christian life in that area. If you've just started school and things are new, things are difficult, Christ will give you everything you need to live your Christian life there. No matter what you're going through in your Christian life, you wake up every morning, you know this, Christ will give you everything that you need. Everything. Drink from Him. To be rooted in Christ also means to be strong. It means to have those roots going down deep so that you're strong to withstand the winds of false teaching. Paul is saying, look, when you're rooted in Christ, when the ferocious winds of false messages come by to sweep you away, you'll still be standing because you've got roots way down into Christ. What happens when people get swept away by the lies of the world and of false religions? What happens? Friends, they didn't have roots in Christ. And so they couldn't stand. Now I want to ask a question here. How do we get our roots to go deeper and deeper into Christ? Because I'm seeing what Paul's saying, and that's what we want. That's what we desire. Of course it's true. Rooted, in a sense, is a one-time event. When God saves us, He unites us to Christ. He plants us in Christ. That's true. But I want to ask, how do you get those roots to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the soil of Christ so that we will produce good fruits and we will drink deeply and we will stand firm, even in trouble? The answer is His Word. Now, where do you get that from, Sam? I don't see that here. Psalm 1, Listen to David's words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay, what will happen? He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. Friend, if you want deep roots for the healthy Christian life, you must be drinking continually from Christ's word. That's how you know him. Just see what he says, see what he was like, see what he did. Love him more. Talk to him when you see him. You have to be in the word. If you're not in the word, you won't grow. And if you don't grow, you got no roots. And if you got no roots, you won't be able to live the Christian life. So, rooted in him. Number two, Paul says, built up in him. The second thing, built up in him, okay? Paul says, we are, it's a present tense, we are being built up in him. So he's gone from an agricultural metaphor to a building metaphor. Paul's saying, look, Colossians, let me remind you what God is doing in your life. He's building you up to look more and more like Christ. That's God's sovereign and good work in all his people. You know, so often we talk about like finding God's will for your life. And we think in terms of like big decisions or hearing a special word from the Lord or getting a certain impression and then we know what to do. There may be some truth in there. However, friends, I'll show you God's will for your life right here. He's building you up brick by brick into the image of Christ. That's God's plan. That's what God is up to in you, in me, in everyone who has received Christ. The Christian life is a life that is steady and continually being built up into Christ. So what then does that mean for us? It means we walk in him. just walk. Live for Christ. Be obedient to Christ. Of course. Because as we're doing that, as we focus on walking in Christ, we know that God is building us up in Christ, just as he's promised. We walk in Christ because God is building us up in Christ. Third thing, Paul says, established in the faith. You see that there in verse 7? Established in the faith. We're rooted. We're built up. We're established in the faith. Paul seems to be referring to a secureness in the Christian faith here. He's saying that the Christian life is a life that is firmly and securely grounded in the faith. And by faith here, he means the Christian faith, Christian truth. Paul is saying, listen, as you hear and listen and obey Christ's truth revealed in his word, you're being established in the faith. And then number four, abounding, verse 7, number 4, abounding in thanksgiving. Now this seems to be a bit different from the other three participles that Paul has deployed. In the first three, the emphasis was on the work that God is doing in us, the work that he has done and the work that he is doing in us. And Paul says, you walk according to the work that God is doing in you. Okay? But here, Paul seems to point the finger directly at us and say, here is how you ought to be living, abounding in thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, Paul says thanksgiving should fill our lives. Like a river that overflows all its banks and just floods everything around it. Paul says Christians should have thanksgiving overflowing and pouring forth from their mouths continually. You know, I was meditating on this verse this week, and I was struck. How is it that so often I am quick to get angry if I don't get something I want, or if something doesn't go my way? How is it that so often I'm marked by discontentment and not thanksgiving? How is it that my prayers are often filled with requests and void of thanksgiving? How is it that sometimes I can even feel like God owes me something? How is it that thanksgiving is so often missing from my life when Paul says you should be abounding in it? Brothers and sisters, if gratitude is missing from your life, let me help you stoke the fire so it once again will burn hotly within you. Move your eyes over to chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then move down, chapter 1, verse 21. And you, that's you, that's me, that's everyone in sin, and you, who were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. Friend, if you're feeling unthankful, let me remind you of who you were. You were dead in sin. You were under God's judgment. You were heading for eternal destruction. Those aren't pleasant words. Those are Paul's words. That's what Paul says. But God, He didn't let you stay there. He didn't let you stay there. But in His mercy, in His love, He sent His Son to die so that you can live. You deserve, what do you deserve? You don't deserve a thing from God. You deserve wrath and judgment. Me too. We all do. We're all sinners. God's given grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. He's wiped the slate clean. He's reconciled us to Himself. He's given us the hope of glory. You know what the hope of glory is? That's you will spend forever in the new heavens and the new earth in a resurrection body, free from sin, free from pain, free from sorrow, and fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's coming for you in Christ. You didn't deserve that. God gave you that. We should abound in thanksgiving, because while we were sinners, God sent Christ to die for us. We should abound in thanksgiving. You know why? Because salvation, we didn't earn it. It's a gift. It is totally a gift. And when one truly sees that, when their eyes are open to that, thanksgiving will abound. You know what salvation by works produces? Pride, conceit. Look at me, I'm working. But you know what salvation that's rooted in the good grace of Christ? You know what that produces? A humble, thankful Christian. And that's what Paul is saying should mark our lives. Thanksgiving abounding. By the way, that flies in the face of everything these false teachers were saying. That they were saying, you gotta keep certain observances and legalism, you gotta obtain hidden knowledge, worship angels even. Paul says, no, that's baloney. Christian, you've already received salvation in Christ by a gift. Now just be thankful. Now just be thankful. So, First Baptist Church of Perryville, let us abound with thanksgiving. For there is no such thing as an ungrateful believer. Well, what have we seen? We've seen that the Christian life starts with receiving Christ, then it continues by walking in Christ. That's living under His Lordship, rooted in Him, being built up in Him, established in the faith, living a thankful life. Now, lastly, and very shortly, our third point, stay. Christians are those who stay with Christ. Look at verse 8 with me. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, next week, we're going to consider this verse in more detail, but I just want to point out really quickly a couple of things for right now. Notice Paul's telling these Christians, you need to be on guard. He says, you see there, see to it. See to it. That is, make sure. Make sure, okay, make sure of what, Paul? That these false teachers don't take you captive. Now, that's a sobering way to describe false teaching, isn't it? Paul says that false teaching, that's anything not according to Christ. It's like a thief. It will steal you away, take you from Christ, and plummet you into destruction. Paul warns us here, don't leave Christ for that stuff. Don't be led into captivity by anything that is not according to Christ. And by the way, you know, often Christians are berated for being exclusivists. You know what I mean by exclusivists? Like we say Christ is the only way. And that's often frowned upon. Now you need wisdom in how you're navigating conversations. But that's often frowned upon. But Paul's words here, he says, if it's not according to Christ, what is it? Empty deceit, human tradition. Friends, if something is not according to Christ, no matter what the teaching might be, it's not true. And if you latch onto it, it will take you captive. And Paul says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Now you might be thinking, I'm not really plagued with false teaching in 2022. Sam, I'm just not. It's like this, we're not the Colossian church. Maybe not. But let me remind you of what we talked about last week, There are all kinds of false messages out in the world that are like temptresses trying to seduce you away from Christ. And they're not dumb. They're not dumb. Verse 4 of chapter 2, they're plausible. They're crafty. They look good. Recently, I was in Aberdeen. I saw some Jehovah's Witnesses passing out some pamphlets. And I caught myself balking on the inside, saying, these guys couldn't possibly fool me. You know, later that night, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe it's not Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, they might not get me. But are there other plausible messages that ring out and that look good and that tempt and that say, this is the way. This is the way. Christ, don't worry. You come this way. Surely there are. And what about you? I don't know all the situations here, but I wonder, even right now, if there's not some of you, you're entertaining a message. You're entertaining something that's not according to Christ. It might look good. It might be plausible, but it's not according to Christ. Friend, God's word to you says, see to it that you're not led captive by it. Because you know what you'll find in everything that isn't Christ? Emptiness. Deceit. Death. But in Christ, you just stay put in Christ, you will find the way, the truth, and life. Paul's saying, stay right there, Christian. Don't move. Don't listen to some of this stuff. Stay right there. Well, friends, we should conclude. What have we seen in these verses? We've seen the summary of not only just this little letter, but the summary of the Christian life. Christians, who are we? We've received Christ by faith. What do we do? We walk. We walk in Christ by faith. And we stay with Christ, not daring to leave our Lord and our sufficient Savior. Let's pray. So, Father, I ask now that you take your word and you drive roots down by it. Oh, Lord, drive our roots down deeper and deeper into Christ. Lord, if there's someone in here who hasn't received Christ, I pray that even now you're working, opening their eyes up to Christ in all his glory. Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, we need you to do your sovereign work. And Lord, then help us to walk in Christ and to stay right by his side. Do this even as you promise to keep us. We ask this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.